Well, today I felt like what God highlighted to share was going through. What does it look like to go through? And there's a passage in Exodus, if you have your Bible. It's in chapter 14, just two verses. And basically, it's to set the stage. It's where Moses is going to lead the people through the Red Sea, the Israelites. And behind them, they see that the Egyptians are coming. And they see in front of them a body of water that isn't parted yet. And Moses says this to the people in Exodus 14, 13 to 14. It says, Moses answered the people, "Do not be afraid. Stand firm, and you will see the deliverance of the Lord will bring you today. The Egyptians you see today, you will never see again." And there's this interesting that phrase, stand firm, right? So I shared a couple of weeks ago, or I don't remember that one that was, about Jehoshaphat, and there was that phrase, stand firm. What does it mean to stand firm? And then I was reading this again, God highlighted it, and I saw that word, that phrase again, stand firm. Obviously, they're going to be walking through a body of water, and yet he's calling them to stand firm. So it's not just about staying in one place, right? It's a posture. It's something that's a way that he brings you to a place where what does it look like to stay standing in the midst of whatever you're facing, in the midst of this, you know, they look forward and all they see is water. They look back and they see the Egyptians attacking, getting ready to annihilate, right? That sense. And yet Moses says to them, don't be afraid, right? As in, it doesn't make any sense, right? How could you not be afraid? Right? Like the reality of it. And yet that's the word from God through Moses is don't be afraid, but that the Lord is going to fight for you. You need only to be still. What does it mean to stay still? Right? You think of Jesus in the bottom of the boat. He is still in the midst of the storm. There's something about that for us this morning. But I felt like I wanted to ask the question of like, how, imagine you being somebody there, one of the Israelites following Moses. How would you feel? Right, think about it for a minute. How would you really feel? You know yourself, right? You know how you respond to stress. You know how you respond to overwhelmings, right? How would you feel in light of what's going on in that transaction? Again, Moses says, don't be afraid, stand firm. You're going to see the deliverance of the Lord. Be still. And it struck me that the Israelites had never seen water parted before. So what he was asking them, inviting them to step into, they had never seen before, right? So again, if God calls you to step out into something that you've never experienced or encountered before, is it easy to trust? For some, yeah, right? You have a connection relationship with the Lord, right? So maybe for Moses it was, but think every single Israelite that was in that company, he was asking as one to press forward, to trust me ultimately, but ultimately trust God, right? Will you trust God? That God didn't bring you to this place to kill you. Even though that's what the scene looks like. It looks like everything's crouching down. There's not a good way forward, and there's obviously not a good way back. They didn't have time to prepare. Sometimes we face life circumstances and we don't have any time to prepare. Something just happens and you're in it. And this is where they're at. So they weren't thinking the Israelites were going to follow them. I mean, the Egyptians were going to follow them, right? But then they do, right? And so they're in this pickle. And it's all about trust. And yet we know the end of the story, right? And so it's easy to read it and say, oh, it was great. It was a good day, right? But what does it look like to go through it? So both, they went through the Red Sea, right? The waters parted. They saw the miraculous, right? Something that's never been done before. And yet there's a sense that God led them through the encounter, through the journey, through the circumstance, right? To get to the other side. And they did see the deliverance of the Lord. And the Egyptians that followed them or pursued them, they didn't survive another day. Sometimes we have situations and circumstances that we do see. We know that's coming. And, you know, I'll share a little bit of my own story today about my kids, but we sort of knew some of this stuff was going to happen. And I think it was 2 days or one day before Asher's surgery, I felt like God said to contact Ken Kramer, wherever he is, here he is, and ask his son. His son is, I don't know, is he an expert river rafter, or is he just do it for fun? But yeah, so his son, Jason, and so God highlighted, I've never met Jason, I don't think, maybe one time, but he highlighted, contact Jason and ask him, what does it look like to when you are in a river raft and you know the rapids are coming, right? How do you guide your raft? Where do you position your raft? And so the thing with rapids is rapids aren't a surprise, right? If you run down the same river, you know there's going to be rapids and you know where they are, especially if you're a guide for that river. Like, you know, the rapids are not a mystery. It's not a surprise. You know when it's going to happen and you know what it looks like. And so how it ties in with us is we've known about Asher's surgery for 10 years, right? He just turned 10. Like, so we knew there was going to be a day that this surgery was going to happen unless God miraculously healed him. And the other side of it is that God, he knows us. He knows what we need. And so in that moment, a day before, 2 days before, again, I don't remember, but he said, contact Jason, have Ken contact Jason and ask, what was it? What do you do? And this is what Jason said, right? He said, tee up to the waves. So you position right into the heart of it. He said, avoid big rocks and go around big holes. That ultimately you're going to head right into the most, turbulent or violent part of the rapids, right? If you try to be careful and you try to go around, you're going to end up in a worse situation. You most likely will. And so there's something about going right in through it. And this was what God spoke through Jason, right, to us. And it's been a key word for us in this season of what we're facing, right? There's something about going through. Often we want to circumvent. We want to go around. We want to somehow avoid the things that are challenges that are in front of us. The Israelites did not want to go through the water. But they sure didn't want to get attacked by the Egyptians or brought back into slavery, whatever was going to happen, right? There was a sense that they needed to go through this situation to get to the other side. The other place we see this is with Joshua, right? It's a little different because they knew in order to get to the promised land, they had to go through the Jordan River. And Joshua and Caleb had seen it before. Nobody else that was with them had ever seen it before. They heard about it. They heard about what happened at the Red Sea, but they never saw it before. Is it easier for you to believe something when you see it? You've seen it before, so you think, oh yeah, I could see that again, right? It's one thing. It's interesting. You know, I pray for a lot of cancer patients and people who have tumors and that kind of stuff. And when we've seen them disappear, I have a lot more faith when I pray for the next guy who has a tumor in his body because I've seen it, right? And so it's that kind of thing. But Joshua and Caleb, they had seen it before. And there wasn't an enemy that was facing them, so there wasn't this sense of urgency, but they knew it was going to happen, and the promised land is on the other side. But in order to get to the promised land, they had to take another step of faith, saying, we're going to walk through this river, and God's going to part it, right? And they're going to see the miraculous again in order to get to the other side. And God does. And I think it's just this picture of what does it look like to go through in their situation. They knew it was going to happen. They knew that was the path that God was going to take them on. And it doesn't feel as scary or audacious. And yet the reality is if you're walking through a river, that's a big river, and you have water piled up on one side or another side, it's going to be a little bit scary maybe, right? We can't imagine it. I've never been in it. Anybody? You ever have a river pause on both sides of you? Right? A raging river? No, nobody, right? See, we don't know. We read it, it's so old hat, right? It feels like, oh, yeah, it's easy. And yet the reality is, think about being there. And then you got to compare it to your own life. What are the rivers that he's saying for you to go through, right? I think one of the things that I'm learning in this season, probably learning a lot of things, but one thing is that going through doesn't always look like what we think it's going to look like. you know, I've contended for a creative miracle for Asher, probably fervently since he was 18 months, because we contended for the miracle of his lip, and then that got healed by the surgeons, and then we contended for the miracle of his palate. And that's been a long journey for me, and my miracle didn't happen. And so when you're, you know, I believed up to the very moment that the doctor started the work, that it could be healed. But as soon as it's not, okay, that's my plan. That's not his plan. And so I'm going to go to, I got to work through my disappointment quick. There's no time. And so if you've had disappointment because of things, often you've heard me preach on it before. Don't live in disappointment land. It'll kill you. It'll kill you. Quickly work through your disappointment, but do it healthily. Bring it to God. Share your anguish, your sadness, your frustration, any hardship around it before the Lord. And then sit there until you receive from him. And the more you go through it, the quicker it is to be able to receive, I believe. Maybe there's certain things that are harder because you're contending. But the reality is, in this situation with Asher, I don't have time to be disappointed. It's not going to serve me. And so God brought me through a process of giving me the peace that passes understanding, which is really what you need when you have disappointment. And then the next thing is you just keep pressing into what's the next place. And so for Asher, what that looks like is, you know, he has to go through this healing process that is dreaded and it's horrid. And I didn't want it for my son, but he has to go through it. And so he's going through it and I got to go through it. And it's something I didn't want, but you look for God's goodness on the journey. And so one place we saw his goodness in the hospital is, you know, he celebrated his birthday in the hospital. And that was a good thing because it opened a door that couldn't have been opened otherwise. And so we had bought one of the things. Asher, he loves the San Jose Sharks and he likes hockey and that kind of stuff. And so we got him for his birthday. One of the things that he saw that he liked was he loves Couture, and he wanted to get an autographed hockey puck. And he saw this case that you could get a picture of Couture and his with a hockey puck signed. And so we got it. But what we realized when it arrived is that what we purchased was the case, not the puck. And so he, on his birthday that we celebrated with him, he opens up the case and he's like, "What is this?" Right? Well, so when I received it, I realized, okay, well, we got to get the puck. And I realized that's a bummer, but okay. So I ordered the puck. The puck was supposed to arrive on the 22nd. His birthday's the 25th. And so the puck doesn't show up. And the 24th comes. That's when he goes, and it's not there. And so we're like, man, that's a drag. We really want him to open something special in the hospital, right? And so the puck comes on the 24th of evening. And so I say to the other guys, my brother, the kids, I said, all right, you got a choice. You can either come with me to the hospital or you can hang out with my parents. And so anyway, so we head down to San Francisco. And I told Lisa, I'm coming. I'm just going to give you the puck so you can bring it in, right? And so she asked the nurse, and the nurse that was the late afternoon nurse was basically like, there's no way, because the policy right now is you can't. If I were to go in, then she couldn't go back in for another 24 hours. And so there was no way for me to be able to bring it to him, but she could come out and get it and take it back in. And so then there was a nurse change right when I arrived at the parking lot. And so Lisa just asked, I'm going to be bold. I'm going to ask again. And so she asked the new nurse. The old nurse is standing right there. The new nurse says, of course, we're going to make that happen for you. And so, isn't that crazy? And so the new nurse says, yeah, we'll figure out a way that he can come up for 5 minutes. She says, I can leave the hospital for 5 minutes or 10 minutes, whatever. And so that's what we did. So they signed me in, and we were not supposed to do this. And so anyway, so I go to surprise my son with a hockey puck for his birthday on the 24th. Anyway, it's really cool. But it wouldn't have happened if it wasn't his birthday, right? You see, like, you think, oh, it sucks that he has to be in the hospital for his birthday. It sucks that this whole process is even happening. And yet in the midst of it, where's God's goodness? Where do you see it? Are you looking for it? And I've learned a lot. If you stop looking for his goodness, you will see badness all around. But if you look for his goodness, you will see goodness everywhere you go, even when you're going through it, the hardest things, right? So that was really cool. Obviously, we continue to walk with Ash. He's struggling. He's not doing well. You guys can be praying for him. He's having a hard time with his new diet, and he's got a long way to go in this process. So we covet your prayers for his life. Ultimately, I do. And I think the other thing is that as you go through trauma, you know, trauma can be a wicked thing. And so he's encountering trauma is the reality of how I would describe this current situation. And so my prayer is that not only would he make it through, which I know he will, but that the residual effects of the trauma will not leave a lasting effect on his life, that God will have victory in that area as well, not just the physical victory of what's going on in his body. So we did that, right? So we knew that set of rapids was coming. Isaac's rapids were a little bit surprising because we weren't expecting that when we got the report. But we have had time now, a couple months, to say, okay, we know this biopsy is going to happen. And so so obviously many of us in the house, we've been contending for creative miracles. Many people have seen pictures of the liquefaction of this tumor, right? That kind of thing. And when they went in, we figured that we had one shot. They had to do an MRI before the operation or the biopsy. And so that was our last saving hope, right? So the very last second, if the tumor was gone, they would see that in the MRI and they wouldn't have to do the biopsy and he wouldn't have to go through any of this. And so the reality is they did the MRI and the tumor is still present. And so they ended up doing the biopsy. And then, you know, sometimes as you're going through the rapids, things happen that you don't expect. And so we knew that there was a possibility for Isaac that anytime you work on the brain that you can have side effects. You can have things that are affected because of just touching the fibers of the brain. It's one of the most sensitive parts of your body. And so sure enough, that's what he's experiencing right now, is that where they did the biopsy, where the tumor is located, it's in the area that affects eyesight and issues around eyesight. And so so currently he's struggling with his eyesight to focus, and he can't look up. Like, he can look up like this, but he can't raise his eyes up. He sees a wall. And that's one of those things where they say ultimately is, you know, it should go away. It should return to normal. But there's no 100% guarantee from the doctor's standpoint. It's like, it's one of the risks of just allowing them to work on your brain, right? So it's that kind of thing. And so he's in that battle. The funny thing with Isaac is Isaac's in such a healthy spot with God right now. Isaac in the hospital, all he wanted to do was listen to worship. He wanted to pray. He wanted to share God's goodness with the people that were caring for him. He really wanted to be here this morning, but we told him he couldn't, and his heart is broken. And so all of that is, there's a hunger and thirst in him right now for God. And that's an exciting thing that's going on in his life. Obviously, we know we're waiting for results of a biopsy. The sad news is the oncologist is excited because she loves doing treatment, and she's counting on there's going to be treatment, some type of radiation or chemotherapy or something, to deal with this, situation. And so we don't know what that is. We don't know what that's going to look like for my son. We'll get that in a couple weeks, and then we'll keep moving forward. And I think the key that God's highlighting, what he did with Moses, what he did with Joshua, is this sense of, do you trust his goodness and faithfulness? We talk about it a lot. But when you're in it, when you're going through it, do you trust him? That even when it doesn't work out the way you thought it was going to work out, even that it doesn't work out the way you hoped it was going to work out, will you still trust his goodness? Will you keep looking for his goodness? Even when you really don't, I'm at my wit's end with Ash. So just be honest. Like, I don't know what else to do for this kid. But I know God's still good and God's still faithful. And that his life, he will live through this somehow. But Moses said, don't be afraid. Stand firm. Be still. It's powerful words. What does it look like to do that? When you're going to the rapids, you're teeing up to the rapids. We should ask Jason, how is his heart when he's teeing up to the rapids, right? Because you know there's the adrenaline, right? And you're doing it. There's no turning back, right? You hit a point where there's no turning back. You have to go through it. You can try to go around it, but you'll end up in a worse situation unless you go through it. And I think that's the challenge. And so Joshua, he says, prepare to be amazed at what you will see God do. When you're facing overwhelming obstacles, is that where your mind is? Are you preparing to be amazed at what God's going to do? Right. So what rapids are you facing today? What's going on in your life? I shared a little of my journey. Are there areas in your life that you have tried to avoid from going through head on? Right? So these may not be surprises. These may be things that you've been dealing with for years. And you just keep trying to circumvent, right? And you realize I'm actually not in a better position than I was 10 years ago or 5 years ago, whatever, right? I think God wants us to go through it. He would have you go through it and meet it head on. Or are there ways where as you're in the process of going through something, it doesn't look like what you hoped for or expected? And so you feel like I'm going through it, but it sure doesn't look like what I wanted. It doesn't look like what I hoped for. And so you're in that place, right? When the Israelites left Egypt, it was a good day. Bye-bye slavery. Bye-bye making bricks, right? We're moving. We're going to the promised land. They had a long journey ahead of them of going through, and they had a lot of choice in that. So think about your choices. But the reality is they had, and immediately they were hit with a situation that they could never think of or imagine that forced them to decide, will I trust God or will I rely on myself? And I think that hasn't changed. That when you're in these situations, God allows us, brings us to that place of, again, asking the question, will you trust God? Will you trust him? And will you listen and will you step out in what he's calling you to do? And I think that that is the key. And so what I felt like today is, as to close it, is I'm just going to pray these words over us this morning. Moses' words and Joshua's words, which ultimately are all God's words. And so I'd like you to, you can hold your hands out if you want to, if you're comfortable with that. But take a minute to just think about, Are there rapids that are coming up that you know are happening in your life? Or are you currently going through a situation that feels overwhelming? And maybe things aren't looking the way that you thought they were going to look. And when you got that, then just listen to the Lord. This is what he would say to you this morning. And you can put your name in there. And I'll call you son or daughter. So we just say son and daughter, don't be afraid. Even as you face the rapids, don't be afraid. Even as you stand in the midst of it and you don't know how it's going to turn out, don't be afraid. Stand firm. Be still. Prepare to be amazed at what you see, what you will see God do. And Jesus, I know that we can't do that on our own. It's hard to stand firm. It's hard to be still in the midst of overwhelmings or rapids. And so I pray for your grace to rest on the sons and daughters that hear my voice today. Your grace would rest on them. That whether it's something they're currently facing or something they will face in the near future or the distant future, I pray that you would rest on them. You would give them grace to stand firm. You give them pictures of what that looks like. Thanks for your faithfulness to Lisa and me in giving us a voice from Jason, an unlikely source of giving us wisdom in the midst of a situation that we would never sought out on our own. That's your goodness right there. And so I pray that you would speak to your children. I pray that they would trust that they do know how to hear your voice and they hear it well. and that they would be able to follow your leading, and that they ultimately would trust you. And then we celebrate in advance, Jesus, in each situation, how we're going to be amazed at what you do. And so we look forward with hope and expectation, anticipation and excitement even, that the goodness of God will manifest itself in the land of the living. The faithfulness of God will manifest itself in the land of the living. In my life, in your lives, it will manifest. And so we give you glory in advance. And then we continue to worship. We choose to worship. Just like Jehoshaphat, we choose to worship. We will stay in a place of worship, of glorifying you. We will not turn to the right or left of worshiping you. And it's our weapon of warfare. And so I pray that you would release that over these sons and daughters, the ones who can hear my voice, and if it is on the podcast, for everybody who hears this message, yeah, that there would be a grace to choose worship in the midst of the battle. Grace to choose worship in the midst of the rapids. Grace to choose worship in the midst of the overwhelmings. Yeah, thank you, Jesus. We give you all glory and honor today. And we celebrate what you're doing. And we thank you that you're the one who leads us through. You're the one who strengthens us to make it through. You're the one who guides us through. And you're the one who's there before we go through it and after we go through it, right? You're right there all along the way. You never leave us or forsake us. And so we can rest in that this morning. And we just ask that you would seal this word in Jesus' precious name. Amen.